Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of Digital Diary. I'm your host, Hannah Elise. I hope you're all doing well. Let me set the scene for a second. I am back once again in my childhood bedroom, home for Christmas. I am so happy. I actually can't even explain to you in words how happy I am to be here right now. Since I am home for the holidays right now, I am using my kind of travel mic setup. This is the microphone that I recorded my first ever episode of this podcast on, because the first episode of this podcast that I ever recorded was about a year ago, right before the new year. And it's not my like heavier duty, I guess, quote unquote microphone. I don't even really have a heavy duty podcast microphone. Like, when you see people's podcast setups and they have the whole like thing that holds the microphone and it's like a whole setup and it looks like a professional, I don't have that. I have the microphone that I record my YouTube voiceovers on that I use usually. It's the Blue Yeti microphone. And then this one that I have right now is the Samson Meteor mic. It's still a good microphone, but it's definitely not as good as the one that I usually use. So if the audio quality is not as good, I am really sorry, but I am doing the best with what I have. This one is a lot smaller, more compact, easier to travel with. So this is what we've got going on. I've got my Christmas lights plugged in my room. I decorated my room the last time I was here for Thanksgiving. I decorated it for Christmas so that it would be festive when I came back. I'm so glad that I did, because it is truly a huge mood booster. And I'm obsessed. I'm just so happy right now to be here. I needed this change of pace right now. I needed to be surrounded by family, and it just feels like a warm hug. The holidays feel like a warm hug to me all the time, but even more so now that I'm back spending it with my family, and I'm very grateful to be doing that. Continuing on with setting the scene, I've got an iced coffee. It's a cold brew with the, oh my gosh, what is that brand? Stock cold brew. I bought a couple of those at Target since I don't have my espresso machine here, so I can't make my like 3 daily double shot lattes as I usually do when I'm back in my apartment. I did the next best thing and I went and got the stock cold brew like containers at Target, and I also bought the Nut Pods toasted marshmallow, I believe it is, creamer, and oh my god, the combination. I'm living for it. That Nut Pods toasted marshmallow creamer is unbelievable. It's so good. And it's just bringing me so much joy. So I've got that. I actually need to put that on a coaster. I'm going rogue for a second over here. I need to put that on a coaster so it doesn't. I mean, not that it really is even that deep. If I get like a water ring on my desk. I thrifted this desk. It's so freaking good. And I always put a packet of sugar in the raw when I have cold brews, because I like to chew on them as a little snack. After I take my sip, the little crunchy sugar, oh my god, it just like amplifies the experience tenfold. As you can tell by the title of today's episode, I wanted today to talk all about reading. I'm so excited to record this. I just came up with this idea literally last night to do like a 2023 reading roundup, reading recap. Every book that I read this year, what my favorite was, I don't know, just like talk about them, because I feel like this year, 2023, I really, really got back into reading. I got back into reading probably a couple years ago. I've been getting back into it and really enjoying it again and reading some really good books. And I think that this year, I kind of catapulted myself back into reading around the fall time, and I started exploring some different genres that I've been reading the last couple years, and I have read some amazing books this year, and I'm just really excited to talk about them with you. I've kept a little list in my notes app of every book that I've read this year. The first like half of the list is not in chronological order, because I realized like halfway through the year that I forgot to start this at the beginning of the year. So I just kind of like went through my Kindle, went through my bookshelves, and wrote down all the books that I had remembered reading up to that point. And then at a certain place, it turns into chronological order, around the fall, it turns into that. I have been reading a lot. It has become one of my favorite hobbies, potentially my favorite hobby of the year. And I'm just really excited to talk all about books and reading with you today. I'm not going to be giving any spoilers. So every book that I talk about, if I give any type of like plot summary at all, it's just going to be very bare bones, things that you can either read on the back cover or you'll find out in the first like 5 pages of the book, like nothing crazy. So no worries, I'm not going to be giving any spoilers, but I still want to talk about these books with you and just my reading journey in general. I feel like I talk a lot about reading and I mention books here and there and ones I'm currently reading and my thoughts on them, but I don't think I've ever really talked about my reading journey as a whole. And it's really not that much of a story, which I guess is why I've never talked about it. But when I was, I think in the 5th grade, I read the Twilight Saga, all of them. And that's really all I remember. I'm not even gonna lie. Like, I think I read the Percy Jackson series also when I was around that age. Why was I reading the Twilight Saga when I was in the 5th grade? I'm not really sure, but I was, and it built character. Harry Potter is my favorite movie series, but I've actually never read the books. Fun fact, I feel like there's so many very popular books that I've never read, but there's also so many popular books that I have read, examples being The Fault in Our Stars, Paper Towns, Looking for Alaska, basically all of the books in that realm. I was right on that wave with everybody else. I feel like that was like middle school, maybe early high school. I don't even remember. But I've always enjoyed reading, unless it was for school and I wasn't interested in the book at all. But even when I had to read like required reading in high school and college, I still had some books out of those that I actually genuinely enjoyed. But reading as a hobby has really bloomed for me over the last few years. And this year I discovered, I honestly think, a new favorite genre, which is fantasy. And that's a massive genre. So like, I don't even know how to narrow that down. I'm gonna run through the books that I've read this year, and I don't know exactly what, if there's like a subgenre. I don't know much, okay? So I'm a very like, don't come for me if I don't know all the correct like specific terms and stuff for, I don't know. Like, I know what I enjoy reading. I know that they are in the fantasy realm, and that's all I know. I also get asked a lot if I have a Goodreads account, and I don't. I don't know. Like, I'm not against making a Goodreads account. I think it's just like, I don't naturally, when I finish a book, rate it in my head unless it is a 5-star book. Then I know that it's 5 stars. But I feel like books that I don't like, I don't know. I don't want to like publicly rate something like a 1 or 2 out of 10. Like, I feel bad. I don't know why. I know that it's just my opinion. But I also know how I feel when I really like a book and then I see somebody else talk about it and they're like, this is the worst book I've ever read in my life. It was literally so pointless and stupid. And I get kind of sad. I don't know. Like, I feel like reading is something that I've just kept to myself and I've had for myself. I feel like I'll still make an account. I don't even know how like Goodreads works, or if you have to write a review or rate every single book, or if I can just mark that I've read a book and then rate some of them. I don't know. Maybe I can do that. We'll see. I'll probably just make one for fun so we can all add each other, because I've actually gotten asked a lot if I have Goodreads. I guess it would be convenient to like keep track of the books that I am reading or want to read or have read or whatever, all of them over time, instead of just making notes app lists here and there that'll end up getting lost. But for now, I just have my notes app list with all the books that I've read. I have also a separate list in my notes app that has my 5-star reads. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 7. 7 5-star reads total that I've read probably in the last like 2 years, I guess. This is all just like recent memory. So maybe it would be good to have something to catalog as I go. I don't know. I'm like talking myself in and out of it back and forth. But anyway, there's that. Also, I didn't make a reading goal for myself this year. I didn't make a goal to like read 40 books this year. I don't know. I've never even thought about doing that, honestly. I kind of just set it as a goal for myself to read when I can and like actually make time for reading, because I know how much I enjoy it. And I just kind of see how many books I read. Like, I wasn't kind of forcing myself to finish books if I didn't like them, or forcing myself to read quickly so that I could get in like a certain amount of books during the year. I don't know. If you do that, then obviously that's your thing. And if that's what motivates you, then that's what motivates you, and that's perfectly fine. But I just have never really done it that way. I think when I put a number on something, it puts pressure on me sort of psychologically to do it, and then it almost becomes something I have to do and not something that I'm doing just because I want to pick up a book. You know what I mean? So that's kind of my philosophy on this. So how many books are on this list? Hold on. 18. I have 18 books on this list that I've read this year. I think I'm gonna hit 20 by the end of the year. I've got another little under 2 weeks to go. I am almost done with book 19. I'm on the last, probably less than 100 pages. So I want to finish that today, ideally. But I'll probably hit 20. And I'm honestly proud of that. Like, that's more than last year. And it just shows that I've really gotten a lot of enjoyment out of reading this year, which makes me really happy. And just looking at this list, wow, we've been all over the place. Let's just get into it. Okay, I'm going to go through my list, tell you every single book I've read, and if I liked it, if I didn't, here we go. All right, starting off the list, I don't remember if this is actually the first book that I read this year, or if it's just the first book that I remembered when I was making this list, but a book that I read this year was The Midnight Library. The Midnight Library is actually a book that I gave 5 stars. Starting off really strong here. This book changed my life. It really did. I heard about this book for the first time when I was listening to the Moments podcast with Lexi Hidalgo. She talked about The Midnight Library, and I looked it up. I was interested in the premise. I bought it. I read it. I laughed. I cried. This book was definitely very heavy at times, and the overall theme of this book, and this is a trigger warning for this book, it is about a girl who wants to end her life. So if that triggers you, I would not recommend reading this book. But as somebody, and I've talked about this on the podcast before, I talked about this at the beginning of the year, as somebody who has also, wow, I'm saying this really casually, but this is not, I understand, obviously, this is not at all casual, but it goes along with why I liked this book. As somebody who has also wanted to do that, this book resonated with me in such a profound way. And I really enjoyed the journey that it took us on. And just like, basically, the Midnight Library is the place where you go in between life and death in this book. So in The Midnight Library, the main character is able to basically pick up a book, and each book in there is a different version of her life. And she's kind of able to jump into these different versions of her life, these different books, kind of try them on. And then if she finds, I think this is how it goes. It's been a while since I read this book, so if I'm not getting this exactly correct, I'm sorry. If she finds one that's like makes her really happy, like she won't leave the book, but like the second that she starts to feel any type of like negative emotion in that life, or like kind of dread or disinterest or just overall not feeling good about that journey, the book ends and she like ends up back in the library. And so she tries on a bunch of different lives, and then what the message is when what happens at the end of the book was so profound for me. I'm obviously not going to spoil it, so if this sounds like something you'd be interested in, I really do recommend this book if you are able to read something with content like this. I've talked about this book before and people have been like, that book was so sad, like I couldn't get through it, it was so sad. And I'm like, yes, it is sad, and that's why I liked it so much, which sounds like twisted and backwards. But as I said, as somebody who has been in that position before multiple times, I'm familiar with that level of sadness, and it almost felt like I was being seen by this book because it was so sad. And that is the reality of that that feeling and that deep of like a depression. So anyway, I just thought that the message of this book was amazing. And it really made me think about life in a different way. It gave me a different perspective. And I just really appreciated it. And I thought it was a great book. So I gave it 5 stars. All right. So that's the first book. Not all of my synopses in this podcast are going to be as long as that one. But as I said, you know, 5-star book. I had to go into it a little bit. Okay. Next. I read The Icebreaker. Oh, The Midnight Library. Frick. I need to remember who wrote these books. I'm so sorry. I didn't even write the authors on this list because I didn't remember most of them. Matt Haig is who wrote The Midnight Library. The next book I read is Icebreaker by Hannah Grace. This was a book talk recommendation. So I heard about this book on TikTok. This book was... I don't know what I would rate this book because I didn't rate any of these books except for the ones that I rated 5 stars, as I said. Like, I don't know. My natural reaction wasn't to, like, put a rating on it. It was just to be like, okay. Or I loved this or I didn't like it. I think Icebreaker was somewhere in the middle for me. It wasn't the most compelling book I've ever read. It was definitely juicy because it was extremely... I felt like I was just reading porn. I'm not gonna lie. Like... And was that interesting? Yeah. Like, I'm not gonna lie. Like, I was eating it up, but it felt like the plot for me. And again, I should have said this at the beginning, but also this is kind of a given, I feel like. These are all my opinions. If you don't agree with anything that I say about any of these books, that is okay. You know, we all have our own opinions and that's okay. And it's all fun and games. Like, yeah. So if I read a book and I didn't love it and it's one of your favorites, please don't take offense. We all just have different interests and that's okay. And then if I read a book that I loved and you hated, then same thing. I don't know. Icebreaker, I just feel like it was fun, but I don't know if the point of it was to have like much of a plot. It definitely had a plot, but I feel like the plot got lost in all of the, it just like smut literally. So I know that there are more books in the series, I think there's, is it called like Wildfire or something? There's another book in the series that I actually do want to read because I've heard really good things about it. But Icebreaker was like, okay, you know what I mean? Like I didn't hate it, but it definitely wasn't the best book I've read all year. It was fun. It was entertaining. That's that. All right. Next, Never Lie by, I believe, Freida McFadden, but let me... check myself. Yes, Never Lie by Freida McFadden. This book was really, really good. I was so interested in this. This is like a, I believe, like a psychological thriller type of book, if I'm being... Yes, psychological thriller. I really enjoyed this book. I was gripped. It was a page-turner. It was about... Oh, yes. Okay, sorry. I just looked the book up and I'm seeing the synopsis and I'm remembering exactly what this is about. It says newlyweds Trisha and Ethan are searching for the house of their dreams when they visit the remote manor that once belonged to Dr. Adrian Hale, a renowned psychiatrist who vanished without a trace 4 years earlier. A violent winter storm traps them at the estate with no chance of escape until the blizzard comes to an end. In search of a book to keep her entertained until the snow abates, Trisha happens upon a secret room, one that contains audio transcripts from every single patient Dr. Hale has ever interviewed. As Trisha listens to the cassette tapes, she learns about the terrifying chain of events leading up to Dr. Hale's mysterious disappearance. Oh, this book was so good. Trisha plays the tapes one by one late into the night. With each one, another shocking piece of the puzzle falls into place and Dr. Adrian Hale's web of lies slowly unravels. And then Trisha reaches the final cassette, the one that reveals the entire horrifying truth. I was on the edge of my seat reading this book. This was a really good book. Psychological thrillers and just books that make me kind of go, what the fuck, are some of my absolute favorite books to read. Psychological thriller, the genre, one of my absolute favorite genres of all time. I just like a book that makes me think. And a book that keeps me on my toes, keeps me flipping the pages, and is, I'm thinking about what the truth could be the entire time. I really, really like that type of book. And this book was that for me. It was very, very good. I really enjoyed this book. I need to get back into reading some psychological thrillers. I haven't read one in a while because I've been so deep into my fantasy hole lately and I just have no... I don't want to come out of the fantasy hole. I'm having so much fun in it. Now let me... Did I read this book? Hold on. Oh my God, I did. I fucking forgot that I read this. is on my list. And I was like, hello. The next book that I read, apparently, is A Flicker in the Dark by Stacey Willingham. This is another, I believe, psychological thriller. Yes, mystery thriller, psychological thriller, all in that realm. I completely forgot that I read this, to be honest with you, until I just looked it up and found the synopsis. So it says, when Chloe Davis was 12, six teenage girls went missing in her small Louisiana town. By the end of the summer, her own father had confessed to the crimes and was put away for life, leaving Chloe and the rest of her family to grapple with the truth and try to move forward while dealing with the aftermath. Now, 20 years later, Chloe is a psychologist in Baton Rouge and getting ready for her wedding. While she finally has a fragile grasp on the happiness she's worked so hard to achieve, she sometimes feels as out of control of her own life as the troubled teens who are her patients. So when a local teenage girl goes missing, and then another, that terrifying summer comes crashing back. Is she paranoid, seeing parallels from her past that aren't actually there? Or for the second time in her life, is Chloe about to unmask a killer? This book was so good. I can't believe I forgot that I even read this. I don't know. My memory's not that great. But this book was really good. I really enjoyed the whodunit aspect. It's kind of like there's a story unfolding and you're like, okay, well, it could be this person because of this, or it could be this person. I had like a list of suspects in my head the entire time trying to figure out the truth before the person in the book could. I feel like that's always what I do with these books. I want to figure it out before they tell me. And then when I get to the end and it's something that I hadn't thought of, I'm like, wow. I feel like I remember that happening with this book. I really enjoyed this. This is another page turner. These are always so fun to read, and I read them so quickly because they're just so quick. Like, I want to know what's going to happen. I can't not keep reading because I need to know what's going to happen. The next book that I read, this was a 5-star read for me. This might be an unpopular opinion, or it might not, depending on who you are, the fact that I gave this book 5 stars. But this next book is Every Summer After by Carly Fortune. I fucking ate this book up. I ate this shit up. I'm sorry. This was so fucking good. When I finished this book, I thought about nothing but this book for like a week after. This is like a second chance romance. They were kind of like in love. Actually, they were in love 10 years ago or whatever, and then they kind of reconnect, but things had gone bad and we don't know why they went badly, and we're trying to figure out why they went badly, because when they reconnect, they're like, you can still feel that they're like in love, and you're just like, what happened that could have been so bad that they like hated each other after that? Basically, this book was so good. I'm sorry, if you love this book, you love this book. If you hated this book, you hated this book. Like, I feel like there's no in between. I need to reread this book. I liked this so much. I read this on my Kindle and then I purchased it in a physical copy because I needed to have it in my possession so that I could reread. Percy and Sam. For 6 summers during their youth, through hazy afternoons on the water and warm nights working in his family's restaurant, Percy and Sam had been inseparable, and when Percy returns to the lake, their connection is as undeniable as it always had been. But until she can confront the decisions she made, they'll never know whether their love is bigger than the biggest mistakes of their past. It was just told over the course of 6 years in the past and 1 weekend in the present. Every Summer After is a gorgeously romantic look at love and the people and the choices that mark us forever. Yeah, so it kind of goes back and forth in time. It'll take us back to the 10 years ago, them like building their relationship, and then it'll flash forward to what's happening now and like go back and forth. 5-star read. I don't even know what else to say about this book. If you've read this book, then you know. If you haven't, you should. I was obsessed. I was addicted. Next book. I really need to like hurry this up because I am spending a lot of time on each of these, but what are you going to do? That's the whole point of this episode. So maybe I don't need to speed it up. I can do whatever I want if you think about it. The next book is The Last to Vanish by Megan Miranda. This is another thriller, mystery, psychological thriller type of book. This is set in a small town, dark secrets. I was very interested in this. A journalist investigating the old missing person story disappears, and then they kind of have to go through all of this again. They're kind of just like trying to figure out what happened now to this most recent missing person, but also it's connected to the missing persons of the past. Very tangled, small town, secretive dark secrets, somebody's lying type of vibe, which I eat up. But this was just a really fun book to read. A quick page turner once again kept me on my toes. Moving right along, I read The Da Vinci Code this year. I know that there's a movie. I haven't even seen the movie. I planned on watching it after I finished the book, and I just never did. I never even knew what The Da Vinci Code was about. It's by Dan Brown, but I've heard so much about it because, I mean, obviously it's a very popular story, I guess. Like, the movie's really popular, and I just haven't seen it somehow. And I looked it up, and it's a mystery thriller novel. So you guys know that's my shit. Detective fiction, crime fiction, conspiracy fiction. I love all that shit. I was like, why have I not read this? This sounds exactly up my alley. Oh my gosh, there's like so much history and religious history. There's a murder at the Louvre. There's like a bunch of secret societies, ancient secret societies. These two people team up and like are trying to figure out what happened. And there's like clues left behind at the murder, and then that leads into another clue. It gives very much National Treasure vibes, if you have seen that movie, but like a more religious version, sort of. But you don't have to be religious to read this book. It just has like a lot of religious themes, and the secret societies have ties to religions and stuff and notable religious figures. And it's honestly very interesting. That's why I say it gives me National Treasure vibes, because like in National Treasure, there's all the old political figures and stuff that are mentioned, and it's very similar to that. Except instead of them like stealing the Declaration of Independence in this book, somebody's murdered and they have to figure out what happened. There's a lot of clues and it feels like kind of a treasure hunt, which I really liked. I still need to watch the movie. I need to get on that. Next, I read Happy Place by Emily Henry. I read that this summer. I really liked this book as well. This is another like second chance romance vibe, kind of like Every Summer After, but not at all the same premise as Every Summer After. But I've realized this year that I like a second chance romance. A couple who broke up months ago pretend to still be together for their annual week-long vacation with their best friends. We're basically also trying to figure out like why they broke up, what happened. They get back together and they're kind of like standoffish towards each other, but they have to act like they're still together. So it's almost like fake dating, but like only fake dating to them, because everybody else assumes that they're still together and in love, and like they are still in love, but like there's issues and you kind of figure out what that is and if they can resolve them, work past them, and what even happened. I love a book where like they start with something that happened between people and you have to, they don't tell you it right away. Like you kind of have to fish it out throughout the book. Another really fun romance book, but it also had a storyline that I wanted to know what happened. I definitely liked Every Summer After more than Happy Place. I mean, they're completely different books, but in the same sort of realm. So I feel like I compared every other romance book that I read the rest of the year to Every Summer After because I loved it so much. So I was like criticizing as I went, which maybe I shouldn't have done. Maybe I need to go into each book as its own thing, but this is another one that I enjoyed. But the thing about me is I won't finish a book unless I really like it. Like if I'm a third of the way into a book and I'm like, this sucks, I'm gonna stop reading it. So it wouldn't even be on this list in the first place. This is another really, 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 really unpopular opinion. And I'm gonna be real with you guys. This is my truth. I DNF'd The Invisible Life of Addie LaRue. I did not finish that book. It was too long to me. It was dragged out. I felt like it didn't need to be. I was bored. And even admitting this, I'm scared because that is such a popular book and so many people love that book. I don't know why I just couldn't finish it. I was just like, I don't care. Like I stopped caring because I was like, this is going on for too long. Just like, give me something. I don't know. I tried to even go back and pick up reading it again a couple times and I still haven't finished it. So I just wanted to say that really, I'm sorry if that offends you or if that's super controversial, but I don't know, I just couldn't. Something about it just wasn't captivating me. I still want to know what happened. I'm about to just Google it because I just don't think I'm ever going to finish the book, to be honest. Like I've had the book for like 2 years and I never finished it. I have not forced myself to finish a book that I truly did not enjoy. And that's going back to the whole like I didn't set a quota for myself for books this year. Like, if I start a book and I don't like it, I'm not going to continue reading it. I'm going to try and find one that I do enjoy, because the whole point of reading for me is to read shit that I like and to enjoy the stories. Like, that's literally the entire point. So if I'm not doing that, then it's like, what the fuck, what's my point? Like, I'm wasting my time and I don't have time to waste. So that's why the books on this list, I'm like, I love this book, or I really liked this book, because I wouldn't have even finished it if I didn't like it. Anyway, next book is The Nightingale by, I believe, Kristen Hanna. This is another book that I rated 5 stars. This wow. This book, you guys, was incredible. It was riveting. It was extremely well written. It was intense. It was very dark at times. It is set during World War II. So it follows this family, and specifically two sisters, during World War II in France. And I'm reading from the description, their struggle to survive and resist the German occupation of France. And it takes you back and forth between both of the sisters' perspectives. They both have very different lives and just ways that they are surviving this war and things that they're doing. And oh, I cried like a little baby at the end. It was just captivating. It was honestly an amazing book. Again, very, very dark at times. There are themes of, you know, death. It's the war. They talk about concentration camps. They talk about, there's themes of sexual assault. So, you know, be cautious of that, of those things. Definitely look this book up and read all of the content warnings before you get into it, because there are a lot. I can't remember if there was a list of content warnings in the book. I remember there was a book that I read this year that had that, and I don't remember if it was this one. I wish I could check right now, but I don't have it with me. But definitely look it up before you decide to read it. I have thought about this book at least 2 or 3 times a week since I've read it, and I read it months ago. The message that I got out of this book was just so truly profound, and it made me think about life in a completely different way. This book actually follows, it's kind of based on, I believe, a sort of true story of an actual woman during this time. I think the characters in The Nightingale are not themselves real people, though some of their actions are based on real historical figures. I do believe that at the end of this book, in the author's notes, the author talked about some people, real people, that their stories inspired this book and these characters. So overall, this was a 5-star book. I heard so much about this book, so many good things about how it was just amazing. And so I knew I had to read it, and it did not disappoint. It was amazing. I honestly had no idea what I was even getting into. I knew that it took place during World War II, and that's really about it. I didn't know where it was going with that, what was going to happen, and oh my goodness, is all I can say. It was a phenomenal book. Moving right along, the next book on my list is None of This is True by Lisa Jewell. I believe that this is now in order. I think starting with Happy Place. Oh, fuck. I forgot one. Oh, my God. Hold on. Go back. Sorry. I read Ugly Love by Colleen Hoover. And another unpopular opinion with this book, because I think a lot of people hated this. I don't know. I feel like you either loved it or you hated it. I actually liked this book. There were definitely content themes that were very questionable, but it made the book interesting. And I liked the book because it was interesting, not because I loved the characters and wanted to be best friends with them or wanted to model my life after them. But I thought the book was interesting because of how fucking messy it was. And it was just oh my God, what's happening? Continuing on to the one I was about to talk about, None of This is True by Lisa Jewell. This book is about, I think this is another book talk one that I saw. It was a psychological thriller. You guys know I love those. It's about these two women, Josie and Alex. Alex is a podcaster, so she's like kind of an influencer, kind of famous. And then this other woman named Josie, celebrating her 45th birthday at her local pub. Popular podcaster Alex Summers crosses paths with an unassuming woman called Josie Fair. Josie, it turns out, is also celebrating her 45th birthday. There are, in fact, birthday twins. A few days later, Alex and Josie bump into each other again, this time outside Alex's children's school. Josie has been listening to Alex's podcasts and thinks she might be an interesting subject for her series. She is, she tells Alex, on the cusp of great changes in her life. Josie's life appears to be strange and complicated, and although Alex finds her unsettling, she can't quite resist the temptation to keep making the podcast. So Josie and Alex, like, Josie comes on Alex's podcast, and Alex is basically doing a podcast about Josie's life and all that, okay? Slowly she starts to realize that Josie has been hiding some very dark secrets, and before she knows it, Josie has basically makes her way into Alex's life and into her home. But as quickly as she arrived, Josie disappears. Only then does Alex discover that Josie has left a terrible and terrifying legacy in her wake, and that Alex has become the subject of her own true crime podcast, with her life and her family's lives under mortal threat. Oh, this is good. This book, I was so, like, disturbed by. It was twisted. Sick and twisted. And I ate it up. Such a good mystery, psychological thriller. You never knew what the fuck was going to happen next. And that's what I liked about it. It kept me on my toes. It kept me turning the pages. And by the end of this book, I, like, when I just went to look this up to make sure that it was by Lisa Jewell, I saw in my recent search history with this book that I looked up, none of this is true, ending explained. I was like, what the fuck is this book? It was twisted and it was good. Next, this is the last book on this list before I got into my fantasy era. Yours Truly by Abby Jimenez. I read this book because my friend Ava read this book, loved it, raved about it. And I love a good romantic comedy sort of book, like adult romance. This book took place in a hospital, like workplace setting. The two main characters are doctors, got off on a really bad foot, so it was almost kind of like enemies to lovers vibes. She did not like him at all, and I love when there's like kind of some animosity going on, and then, you know, enemies to lovers, you see their progression and you get to know more about the characters' backgrounds, obviously. And then again, I laughed, I cried. While I did really, really enjoy this book overall, it frustrated me at times because I was like, this is so, like, the lack of communication or the miscommunication issues, it's just like, it's not that fucking hard. Like, it made me want to literally take these characters and just, like, shake them. I'm like, what? They just refused to address things and, like, actually, oh, like, it just frustrated the shit out of me. Like, these issues could have been resolved so quickly if they weren't so fucking bad at communicating. The refusal to communicate at times frustrated me so badly. But the overall plot of this book I thought was sweet. It was just at times I kind of wanted to throw myself off a bridge because I was so fucking annoyed with how they were handling things with each other. I was like, this doesn't need to be this fucking hard. Like, we're all adults here. Okay. Now we're getting into the good stuff. Now we're about fall of this year in my timeline, and we read Fourth Wing. If you've been listening to this podcast since I read Fourth Wing, you've heard me talk about it probably. Fourth Wing by Rebecca Yarros. 6 stars. 6 out of 5. This was my favorite book of the year. This book changed my life. This book threw me into fantasy. Everything about this book I loved. I ate this shit up. This is genuinely one of the best books that I think I've ever read in my life. The world is so wonderfully built. It takes place at a war college in this world where there are dragon riders and dragons, and then there's like all this conflict with other territories and stuff, and the characters are at this war college learning to be dragon riders. They're in the Riders Quadrant, and it's like super cutthroat. There's all these kind of trials they have to go through. I felt like I was there. I felt like I was a part of these conflicts. Like, there was a rebellion and all that. So there's a lot going on just in the world itself and conflicts there that are super interesting. But then there's the romance. And when I say enemies, mortal enemies, he wants to kill her enemies to lovers. The romance in this book changed my life. I wish I was being dramatic. I really do. But I'm not. This, oh my fucking, no, seriously. After I finished this book, I thought about nothing but this book for like 3 weeks. I wanted to reread it the second I finished it. Oh my God, and not to mention the ending. Don't even get me started on the fucking ending in this book. Holy shit. My jaw was on the fucking floor. This book was 6 out of 5 stars. My absolute favorite book of the year. I could talk about this book for like 3 hours straight, I think. Actually, I'm going to go out of order really quickly, if that's okay with you guys. The next book I want to talk about is the second book in this series. So this series, with Fourth Wing being the first, the series is called The Empyrean. And I think that there are supposed to be 5 books total in this series. Currently, 2 of them are out. Fourth Wing and Iron Flame. Iron Flame came out like last month. And of course, I read that one too. So I want to talk about that one next because it's the logical next. it continues right on from this book. I will say, I love these characters so much. I love this world so much. I love the plot. I love everything that's going on in the world. I love the romance as we know. I love the dragons. I love it all. But Fourth Wing, the first one, was significantly better than Iron Flame. Iron Flame I enjoyed because I wanted to continue reading about this world. I wanted to be back in this world. I felt like there were times during Iron Flame that it just dragged and it didn't really need to. It could have been shorter and we could have, I don't know, like it just felt like there was fluff at times. But overall, I enjoyed it because, again, it was a continuation of Fourth Wing, of this world and following the journeys of these people and just kind of getting more information about these characters and like their true alliances. And it's just, I love this world. I love it so much. I love these characters. But I would be remiss if I didn't say that the ending of Iron Flame made me want to lock myself in my room and never fucking leave again. I was so emotionally, mentally, spiritually, and quite honestly, physically distraught at the ending of Iron Flame. And I said this in a previous podcast episode when I talked about Iron Flame. If they don't find a fucking way to remedy this thing that happened at the end of Iron Flame, I will be making Fourth Wing a standalone. And I say that fully intending to read the rest of the series as it comes out, but I am so pissed. I'm pissed. I don't even know what to say. Like, I think Fourth Wing was so much better than Iron Flame, and the ending of Iron Flame made me very angry. Okay, sorry. I am rambling so much. I am really getting into all these books. As you can tell, I am passionate about these. I got extremely emotionally invested in the books that I read this year. I've got 2 more worlds to talk about. Next, I read the first 3 books in the ACOTAR series. One of the most popular, at least from what I've seen and what people have said to me when I said I was going to read these books, fantasy series. A Court of Thorns and Roses is a series by Sarah J. Maas. There are 5 books out right now. I think that they're still being released. Like, I think there's going to be another one too. I don't know how many there will be in total, but I read the first 3. Those being A Court of Thorns and Roses, A Court of Mist and Fury, and A Court of Wings and Ruin. Of those 3, Mist and Fury, the second one, was by far my favorite. I rated Mist and Fury 5 stars, an immediate 5 stars. Mist and Fury was my very close second favorite book of the year after Fourth Wing. And then I also rated Wings and Ruin 5 stars. That's the most recent one I finished. I honestly might make Mist and Fury, the second one, 5.5 stars. If Fourth Wing is 6 stars out of 5. I think Mist and Fury is 5.5 stars out of 5. And then Wings of Ruin is 5. Anyway, all right, starting off with the first book, Court of Thorns and Roses. It took me a second to get into this book. I'm not going to lie. It took me a second to get into this world because I just finished Fourth Wing. After I read Fourth Wing, I jumped into the ACOTAR series. Another fantasy series, another completely different world, completely fully built world that I had to visualize and really immerse myself into. And it took me a second to do that with A Court of Thorns and Roses. It took me probably, I don't know, maybe like honestly 40% of the first book to feel like I was in it and to be like hooked. But once we got there, I was sat, I was hooked. I wanted to know what was happening next. There was, again, the whole world very fully built out. I think very well written, very well built out. And then there's also a romance aspect, which I love. I love it when there's a plot, there's conflict in and of itself and things that people are trying to figure out. And then there's also the romance. Those are my favorites, when there's both of those things going on simultaneously. It's really fucking hard for me to talk about this series without spoiling. Because if you've never read this series, I can't say this. Like, if you don't know this is going to happen, I can't give you the details on why Mist and Fury was so good to me. Okay, all I'll say is, at the end of A Court of Thorns and Roses, I immediately bought Mist and Fury on my Kindle, and I started reading it right after. So I was like, I have to continue on. I have to know what's going on. And largely, honestly, because of the conflict, the world conflict, and things that didn't have to necessarily do with the romance, but obviously also because of the romance, like, I wanted to see what was going to happen next, because, like, shit went down. Like, shit, at the end of the first book, I mean, probably the last, like, I don't know, fifth of the book was crazy. Shit was going down. It was intense. I was gripped. I was on the edge of my seat. And there were things in that last part that I was like, So I jumped immediately into A Court of Mist and Fury. The romance. That's all I'll say. The fucking romance. The romance themes in this series so far that I've read overall have very largely been enemies to lovers. You've gotten this far in this episode, so you know I like enemies to lovers a lot. And it's like enemies to lovers in the way that they're powerful and dangerous, and they could kill you if they wanted to, but they don't. It's like they're dangerous to everyone but her. Fuck, I love that. I fucking love that. I love that. Is that a trope? I don't know. If it is, I love that trope. Oh, okay. And then I read Wings and Ruin. I really liked that each of these books so far, although they're like part of the bigger series and there's the greater conflicts going on that have been talked about throughout the whole book, like, each book has kind of focused on its own specific conflict. Like, something arises and then it's that book is about, you know, solving that problem. And in the grand scheme of things, it's not just like each one is just a big continuation of the other with no start and end and no resolution or anything. I like that with each one, it kind of has come with its own, like, new challenges and ways that it keeps it interesting. The romance. That's all I'll say. This is... I love this world. I love these characters. I truly have. Oh, another... It has a huge element of found family also. Honestly, in all three of the ones I've read so far, there have been the found family aspects. And it's just so sweet to me. It makes me so happy. Specifically in Mist and Fury, the second book, it was so strong, found family. And everything was so good. Like, the world conflict was so good. The enemies to lovers romance was so good. And the found family was so good. Oh! There are two more books in this series that are out that I'm going to read. A Court of Frost and Starlight. And what's the other one? A Court of Silver Flames. Those are books 4 and 5. So those are on my TBR. But I've read the first three. And it's a fucking amazing series. I see why people love it so much, why people hype it up so much. It's popular for a reason, and that reason is because it is good. Okay, the final world that we have to talk about in this episode is Ninth House by Leigh Bardugo. So it's Ninth House and Hellbent. I finished Ninth House, and now I'm currently reading Hellbent, and I'm almost done with Hellbent. So I'm probably going to finish that either today or tomorrow. So I guess I'm really just going to be talking mostly about Ninth House, because if you haven't even read Ninth House, then anything that I say about Hellbent is definitely going to be a spoiler. So here is a very brief synopsis vibe of what's going on. Ninth House and Hellbent are both very much like dark academia, sinister societies vibes. These books take place at Yale University. I will say about Ninth House, it took me an incredibly long time to figure out what the fuck was happening in this book. I'm not gonna lie. I think it took me probably 70% of the book. And I kept reading because I was super interested in what was going on, even though I didn't fully understand it. There was just a lot to keep track of. I'm just gonna read you this little synopsis on Amazon to, this will better explain kind of the vibe and the main character, Alex, than I can. So it says, Galaxy Stern, she goes by Alex, is the most unlikely member of Yale's freshman class. Raised in the Los Angeles hinterlands by a hippie mom, Alex dropped out of school early and into a world of shady drug dealer boyfriends, dead-end jobs, and much, much worse. In fact, by age 20, she is the sole survivor of a horrific, unsolved multiple homicide. Some might say she's thrown her life away. But at her hospital bed, Alex is offered a second chance to attend one of the world's most prestigious universities on a full ride. What's the catch and why her? Still searching for answers, Alex arrives in New Haven, tasked by her mysterious benefactors with monitoring the activities of Yale's secret societies. Their eight windowless quote-unquote tombs are the well-known haunts of the rich and powerful, from high-ranking politicos to Wall Street's biggest players. But their occult activities are more sinister and more extraordinary than any paranoid imagination might conceive. They tamper with forbidden magic, they raise the dead, and sometimes they prey on the living. It follows main character Alex. She's in the ninth house. So there's eight houses, quote-unquote, the secret societies. The ninth house is the one that oversees the other eight. Alex is a member of that one, and basically this series follows her journey. The first book is basically her whole freshman year at Yale, but also goes back in time to show some of the parts of her past, and it also does the whole, like, sometimes alternating chapters are different timelines, so it started off with kind of like the end of the book. The first chapter was the end, and then it went back in time to kind of tell us what all got to that point, and the whole book basically was the build up to the first part, if that makes sense. And then at the very end, the first part of the book was continued on from where it just like stopped after the very first chapter. It continues on after we know everything else that's happened. This, see, as you can hear just in me explaining this, it's hard to even explain, and that's why I was so confused. Also, the fact that there are nine societies or houses, and they all have different names, they all have different specialties or whatever things they're known for doing, and there's just so many people involved, so many players, there's so many organizations, and the timeline, the way that it's written, goes back and forth, so it can be difficult to like keep track of what's happening, when, who these people are, whatever. But once I finally got a grasp on that, it's so good. It took me a while, but I stuck with it because I was genuinely interested in the premise. And I realized with this book, dark academia, fantasy fiction, mystery thriller, horror fiction, dark fantasy, paranormal fiction, supernatural fiction. I'm just reading some of the genres it's listed when I looked it up. But anyway, so that's Ninth House. Once I got a grip for what was happening, the last part of the book, I was like, oh my God. Okay, this, I get it now. Like, this makes sense. Like, if I were to go back and reread Ninth House, I think that I would definitely pick up on different things that I missed, or like just have a general better understanding of what was going on, since now I like finally got everything together. But I really, really enjoyed the premise of this book, and the way that it ended was on a total cliffhanger. And I was like, oh my God, of course I have to read the second book, obviously. So that is what I'm reading right now. The second book is called Hellbent, and it literally just picks right up basically from the first book, but it's written in the exact same way. So like the first part, the first little like snippet chapter, couple pages of Hellbent is what's happening at the end of the book, basically. So it gives you that, and then it throws you back like 9 months before that to tell you what led up to that point. And then I think it was like, I'm probably 3/4 of the way through. It continues on from where it stopped in the very beginning. I'm hoping that this is making sense the way that I'm explaining it. I went back and reread because I was like, wait, this is sounding familiar. I went back when I got to that point, like 3/4 of the way through the book, I went back and reread the first little snippet. And I was like, oh, okay. So this is what's happening right now in this later part of the book. But like they just gave us that as foreshadowing. And then so both of those books are written the same way. It can be really confusing. So you have to actually like really pay attention. And I know that this sounds kind of involved and a little bit overwhelming for a book, like to have to really focus this much to even understand like what's happening, but it's worth it to me because it's interesting. Like I'm really interested in what's happening. So I wanted to do all those things, and I'm glad that I did. Like I'm glad that I kept reading even when I was confused in the first book, because I'm really, really enjoying this little, I think it's like a tandem series. I don't think that there's any like a third book. I don't know though. Like I don't even know how Hellbent ends, since I still have, I think, maybe a little less than 100 pages left, but I am itching to find out.
Okay, hi. I'm checking in. I'm editing this right now. I finished Hellbent and I looked it up and I found out that there actually is a third book. So this is going to be a 3-book series. And the next book, it says, is slated to come out in 2025. So there will be another one, and I'm excited.
I just really like the series. I really like Alex. She's like rough around the edges, doesn't give a fuck. She's so not like the rest of the people, the rest of the members of these societies. She's just like, she's really tough. She's been through a lot, and I think she's a bad bitch. So anyway, that's it. That's the final world that I have to talk about right now, the final couple books. When I finish Hellbent, that'll be my 19th book of the year, and then I want to read another one before the end of the year. I don't know what that will be. I have the Atlas 6 with me right now, but that book is really long. That's the thing, like when I started reading all these fantasy books at the beginning of the fall, they are all so fucking long. The third ACOTAR book, Wings and Ruin, I didn't even realize that this book was like 750 pages because I was reading it on my Kindle, but I was like, holy shit, this is so long. And then I looked it up and it's, I think it was 750. Let me look, something around there. But like, they're all so long. So it's not like I can just fly through them because I don't have time for that. I got shit to do. Oh, 724. Okay, I was close, whatever. But still, that's a lot. So it takes me a sec and I'm not like rushing through just that I can, you know, say I read more books, I guess. Like I really want to immerse myself fully in what's happening. I'm shooting for 20 books by the end of the year. I'm thinking that after I finish Hellbent, I'll read one more. Maybe I should just pick like, I don't know, a Christmas rom-com book or something. I think that'd be fun. So maybe I'll do that. And then we're jumping right back into it. I have so many books to read in the fantasy genre that are so popular and have been for so long. And now that I'm finally like quite literally cannonballing into this genre, I have to catch up and I want to read all of these series. So I'm really excited. I think this was such a good year for me reading wise. I've had so much fun. It gets me off my phone, throws me into another world. And I just, when I have free time, I find myself just wanting to sit down and be cozy with my book and read. And it's just been bringing me so much joy. So that concludes my 2023 reading recap. Thank you for listening to this long ass episode. If you made it to the end of this, you're such a real one and I love you and thank you for being here. I don't know why you listened to me ramble about books for this long, but I'm grateful that you did. I am so passionate about the books that I read and I love talking about them to anybody who will listen, especially my favorites. Oh my God. Don't even ask me about them in real life because I will go on and on. Especially if you've read these books too, like I can really get into it. It's not good. Like, I'll just talk forever about them. But I've talked quite literally enough. So I'm going to end this episode here. Thank you so much for listening to another episode of Digital Diary. I hope you have an amazing rest of your day, an amazing rest of your week and an amazing holiday season. This is the last time I'll talk to you before Christmas, if you celebrate Christmas. So Merry Christmas to everyone who celebrates. I hope that you are having a lovely time and filled with love and joy and all of that. Okay. I love you so much. I will talk to you soon. Bye.